and close your eyes. Let's talk to the Lord for just a moment. Dear God, we commit the sermon to you now. Lord, we just want your will to be done in the sermon. I pray that you'll help us to rightly divide the word of truth. Draw us a little closer to you in this simple message tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll help us in our walk with you. No, Lord, not to be stagnant, but always moving forward for you. And Lord, I pray that you'll again just guide us through the message. Fill me with your spirit. Simply control me completely with your spirit. Bind Satan's hands, Lord, to keep us distracted or to get us distracted. And Lord, I pray that you'll draw us just a little closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, two of my favorite verses, you'd probably call them my life verses. I'm not preaching them tonight, but there is a relation to this verse or these two verses and what we're going to talk about tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Now, this is tough. This is tough to do in a lot of things in life. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding." Now, whenever something comes up, we normally want to get our brain in gear, don't we? We want to start thinking about it, mulling it over. What I found is 9 times out of 10, when my brain gets involved and I start thinking about it and try to sort all this out and figure this thing out, it's normally wrong. So we need to trust the Lord, lean not on our understanding. And it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. The idea of acknowledging him, from what I understand, is consulting him. You know, consulting him. Make sure that you're getting his direction in life. And then the next part of that verse, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Did you catch that? He shall direct thy paths. You know, for anyone who is serious about the Lord, we want the Lord's path for our life. We agree with that? We want to be doing what God wants us to do. Of course, many things in Scripture, we don't have to pray about whether certain things are right or wrong because it's right there in Scripture. Some people want to make so many things in Scripture gray, but it is a black and white book. There are certain gray areas, but not near as many as a lot of people want you to think. And there are certain things that we know that are right and not, and wrong, and we should be doing the good things and not the bad things. But I believe that God has a direction for every one of our lives, don't you? And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. The title of the message is Direction, Obedience, and Blessing. Direction, Obedience, and Blessing. And in case you're not sure how to remember that, if you ever filled out a form and right on that form it says DOB, you know what that stands for? Date of birth. Now that has nothing to do specifically with what we're talking about, except it may help us to remember those three words: direction, obedience, and blessing. Would you say that with me? Direction, obedience, and blessing. We can do a little bit better than that, I believe. Okay, we can do a little bit better than that. Direction, obedience, and blessing. Now, there's a pattern that every Christian ought to put into their life. Now, you know, there's some patterns in life that are just plumb wrong and plumb bad. Some people get in a pattern, they get their paycheck, they go to the bar and they drink and they stay out late. Now, that's a bad pattern, right? A lot of the patterns in life that we have are pretty much like, I'd call them neutral type of patterns. Some people have a certain regimen in the morning. You know, they get up, they get them a cup of coffee, and they sit down sometimes with the Bible, or they might sit down with the newspaper, they might flick on the weather or the news, and they're in a certain pattern. Tonight we're going to be talking about a pattern that is a good pattern for every Christian to get into. I really think it's a very, very, very simple message. But I hope, as God led me to preach on this again, I thought I was going to be preaching on something else, and God changed my direction again. So either my signal's bad here lately or something, but God changed my direction this evening even. And we're talking about a good pattern, and that pattern, D-O-B, remember, is day of birth. You're close, Larry. All right. Now, the pattern is direction, obedience, and blessing. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 to 16. Now, you'll see this pattern played out at least three times in this passage of Scripture, this pattern of direction, obedience, and blessing. It's a familiar story, or it's kind of like two familiar stories, kind of wrapped up together, but follow along if you would. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab." Now we have two major characters here, Elijah the prophet. It's kind of interesting that Elijah means Yahweh is my God. By the very definition of his name, Yahweh is my God. But you have a wicked king called Ahab of the northern kingdom of Israel. And remember him and his wife Jezebel, they promote Baal worship, remember? So probably every time they saw Elijah and they say, "Hey, Elijah," they Yahweh is my God. Now, you're misguided. Or they felt convicted themselves that they were wrong. But here you got these two main characters. It said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." So God gives a direction to Elijah that because of the sinfulness of the northern kingdom of Israel, there's not going to be any rain for years. Verse 2. But God always has a plan, right? God's working the plan even in the life of the northern kingdom of Israel, but God has a plan for Elijah. It says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying," this is the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh, or bread and meat in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Now, to me, this is an amazing story. And when I say story, I don't mean make-believe. I'm talking about a real account that happened. Now, you could look at this story and say, well, God will provide for his people. That's true, don't you think so? I mean, if God can take care of his prophet who's listening to his word, take care of his prophet that's serving him by bringing ravens in the morning, bring it. Now, to me, it sounds a little bit on the gross side, to be honest with you. But when you're hungry and there's a famine and there's no food, I'm sure that Elijah was thankful that those ravens brought him bread and meat. Don't you imagine? And he was drinking there of the brook. I mean, what a wonderful picture of God taking care of his child. You know, I don't believe there's a moment that God won't take care of his children, do you? You say, but preacher, a lot of bad things happens to God's people. Yeah, it's true. We live in a sinful world, and we're nothing but sinners ourselves, saved by grace. And because of that, living in this world, this sinful world that we live in, and because of the sinfulness of sometimes our own sinfulness as well, yeah, bad things happen. But that doesn't mean God don't care. That doesn't mean that God won't provide. That doesn't mean that God isn't always by our side. So I could let it go at that, and that would be a lot, but we're going to look at it a little bit different. But we're not done yet. Let's look at the next account, okay? It says, verse 8, so here you got a famine. God's bringing judgment on the northern kingdom of Israel, but he tells Elijah, go to the brook, and the ravens will feed you, and they did. But then the brook dried up, verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. That's kind of interesting. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Well, I tell you what, the diagnosis at this point, or the prediction at this point, does not look good for this widow and her son, does it? But listen, verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Boy, what a promise, right? From God. It's not going to run out. The meal's not going to run out. The oil's not going to run out until the Lord sends rain. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Wow. Isn't that a cool story? It says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So every day she came to that barrel, there was still meal in there for days until God sent rain. Every day she used up the oil, but she come back and the oil was still there. I mean, you could just look at this and say, wow, what a powerful, compassionate God we serve. What a God that takes care of his people. That's a good thing, don't you think? But in this, I do see a pattern. The pattern that we're talking about is all right, well, we just a little slow there, but that's okay. One more time. Direction, obedience, blessing. Direction, obedience, and blessing. Now, we see this pattern played out three times in these two stories, okay? It's really one story of the Lord protecting Elijah, but in these accounts that we've looked at, example number one is Elijah himself. Notice the direction found in verses 1 to 3. We know the situation. You got Elijah, you got Ahab, and he says there's going to be a famine. And it says in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him. And what did the word of God say? Now this is the direction part. The word of God came to Elijah and gave him direction. And gave him really specific directions. What's it say? Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it will be that you'll drink the brook and the ravens will feed thee there. You see, in this example number one, we see direction. Don't you see direction? The word of God told Elijah, this is what I want you to do. But where's obedience found? Where's obedience? Well, in verse 5, do you see that? So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. He did exactly what God told him to do. It says, for he went, dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and guess what? He followed God's direction, he obeyed it completely, and God sent blessing. Now, do you think there might have been some people starving at this time because of the famine? Absolutely. But God said, guess what? You follow my direction, you obey what I say, and I will give you a blessing. And it says in verse 6, as we talked about, the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and also in the evening, it says, and he drank of the brook. Now, once it dried up, that's example number one. Do you see the pattern in Elijah? The pattern is direction, God's direction, obedience, our obedience, and then blessing. A good pattern. Roman numeral number two is example number two. Here's Elijah again. We see this same pattern in verses 8 and 9 for direction. Notice, it says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, say. And then it gives him real specific direction. You go to Zarephath, that's in the area or belongeth to Zidon. You dwell there and I have commanded a widow to sustain thee. So right there's the direction. Right there was the direction. You see, Elijah was listening. I'm sure it got his attention when the brook Cherith dried up. Don't you imagine? And he said, okay, direction, I got it. I got God's direction. And then what did he do? Verse 10. So he, Elijah, arose and went to Zarephath. Okay? He did what God directed him to do. And then what about blessing in that story? What about the meal and the oil? In verse 16, it says, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Do you see that pattern in Elijah's life again? That pattern is direction, God's direction, obedience, our obedience, and then God blessed according to following his direction and obeying what he said to do. But you know, there's also a third example, and you might figure out, preacher, you're moving faster than usual. Yeah, I think I might be. Roman numeral number three is example number three. Notice the widow of Zarephath. The same pattern is found in her life. If you notice, you'll miss this if you're not paying real close attention. Notice direction. It says in verse 9, as the Lord is speaking to Elijah, he says, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded. Did you catch that? I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So do you see the direction of God even with the widow of Zarephath? He was giving her direction. Just give me a little nod if you see that. Do you see that? And then notice in verse 14, it says, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Now, Elijah is speaking to her the very words of the Lord, right? And he says, here's what the Lord of Israel is saying. It's not going to waste away. It's going to keep on feeding you and your family. So we see in the widow of Zarephath here, we see direction and then we see obedience. Look at verse 15. It says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And you could put in there and put a big parenthesis, and according to what God told her to do. So you see God's direction, you see her obedience, and then verse 15, the last part of verse 15 in particular, notice it says, and she and he and her house did eat many days. You see the blessing, right? Now, when you read these Old Testament stories, I love the Old Testament. I really do. I love preaching and teaching and reading the stories of the Old Testament. And if you look at this, I mean, you can just read it and say, wow, what a big God. What a God that provides. You know, what a God that can do anything and all that. What a God that cares about us and on and on and on. But you also have the principle here, I believe, of direction, obedience, and blessing. And that will translate right here to, make sure I got it right, July 2nd, 2023. It can translate right into our lives today, that same principle. That principle, that pattern is what? Direction, obedience, and blessing. You say, but preacher. We're not prophets. And we don't hear the word of God. I mean, he literally, physically heard the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord in some way. Now, I can't say definitively that he heard the booming voice. Maybe it's the still small voice of God. But, you know, God operates a little bit differently in this age of grace, this age of the church than he did then. And I'm not a prophet, so what can I really learn from this? You know, God still gives us direction. God still gives us direction. I really think the older I get, the more I really believe that this is one of the most misunderstood principles in the church today. I'm not speaking just the church here at Oakman. I'm talking about among Christians, the direction of God. And I really think a lot of people go through their whole life and they never find the direction of God. You know, and there's lots of times that we need the direction of God. I definitely don't want to be operating. Remember the passage in Proverbs, you know, lean not to thine understanding. I don't want to base my decisions and my life upon what I think, because what I think will get me in a whole lot of trouble. I want to make sure that I'm following God's direction. I mean, I'll be honest with you, sometimes it would be wonderful. We have so many ways to communicate today. Wouldn't it be great if your phone would just ding and you'd look at it and say, oh, it's from God. God told me. Some of you folks that are vehemently opposed to texting, you'd have to learn texting if God started texting me with, okay, well, if I have to. And we got email. I mean, you know, you can send someone a letter just right by the airwaves, you know, and you get it just in a matter of a few seconds. It'd be kind of good if you'd got an email and it has an attachment, and you open the attachment and it says, Dear Gwen, this is what I want you to do. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be nice? I know phone calls are getting more and more outdated. God could just call us and say, or God, even better, would come to us face to face. But that's not the way He operates. We live by faith, right? So you say, how do we really get our direction from God today? This is the part I think that we get so misunderstood so many times. It's not mysterious. It's not mystical. But when I read the Word of God seeking direction, can I tell you that God will use the Word of God coupled with the Spirit of God that lives inside of me to give direction to this child of God? And sometimes anymore, it seems like when you tell people, well, you pray and make sure what God's will, and they're like, huh? They look at you like, huh? Well, what's that supposed to mean? The will? How am I supposed to determine the will of God? Now, maybe we don't understand it a lot because we've not practiced it a lot, perhaps. But when you have a decision to make in life, we have a decision to make as a church. We have a decision as individuals or as a family. Really, what we need to do is consult God, acknowledge Him, acknowledge the God of the universe, and go to Him in God's Word and say, God, I need an answer. I need some guidance. I need some direction. Now, we couple praying to the God of the universe with reading Scripture. And again, the Holy Spirit speaks to us as we read God's Word and gives us direction. But if we never spend time, we close this book up and say, God, I want your direction, there's a pretty good chance we're not going to hear His direction. I'm not coming across like I'm an expert on that, but there's been many times that I've sought God's direction. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what to do about this decision. I don't know what to do about maybe it's something in the church. I don't know what. But when I get serious and I go to God's Word, again, God uses the Word of God along with the Spirit of God living inside of me to direct this child of God. And it's not something you can say, oh, yeah, well, I just read that verse and it said exactly the words that I needed to hear. But it may be kind of hard to explain, but God just moves in your heart and in your life. And you can get up from your prayer time or your Bible reading time and you say, well, you can say, I know God wants me to do this. I mean, there's been times that God, now don't think I'm strange or crazy. It should be the norm for my life and for your life, but I've got directions from God almost as clear as if God said, this is what I want you to do. And you say that even sometimes among long-term Christians, and they look at you like, you what are you smoking? Or what in the world have you eaten that's upset your stomach and affected your brain a little bit? I mean, really, they kind of look, but that should be the norm. God gives us direction, but we got to find it. We got to spend time in the Word of God. All kind of dovetails back. You know, we've been talking about things that should increase, and one thing we talked about at length was the Word of God. It needs to increase in our lives. It needs to increase in our families. It needs to increase in our churches. It needs to increase in our witnessing. It needs to increase in our society. And that's going to come through me. But as I spend time in the Word of God and say, God, I need direction, I need help, I'm telling you, when we get in the Word of God and we're serious about it, the Holy Spirit will speak to our heart and give us guidance and direction. There's been times in churches where I've asked people, I said, now I want you to seek out God's will. I want you to know what God wants. I want you to pray and figure out what God wants you to, wants us to do as a church. I've asked people that before in the past. And it's like, they kind of look at you like. And then you get back to them. You say, okay, what'd y'all figure out? Did God give me? And then they give me all the reasons humanly why we should or shouldn't, instead of, well, God told me that we need to do this, and God spoke to my heart. See, that's not the way God gives us direction, is when I get our brain in gear. That's, where's faith whenever I can figure it out in my brain, right? Direction, direction, this pattern, direction. But then the next step is real personal. First, actually, the first step is too, because there's got to be a want to figure out God's direction. The second part is obedience. Obedience. Even when God gives us direction and we don't like the answer, we don't like the direction. You know how many people have been called, and this pattern, I don't want to make you think that this is the only place this pattern is in Scripture in 1 Kings chapter 17. This pattern is all throughout Scripture. God gives direction, people obey, and God will bless them. But there's also pictures of people that got that receive God's direction, and they say, uh-uh, I'm not going to do that. Remember Saul, King Saul? His trajectory for the Lord, where he could have gone, what he could have done. But the Lord said, when you destroy that city, you destroy everything. Remember what he did? He kept some of the livestock. He even had a good excuse. We kept those livestock so we could offer them to you, God. But you see, God gave him direction, but he chose not to obey it, and he lost the blessing. He even lost the kingship, the throne, right? Now, you and I, we need to seek God's direction. And once we get that direction, and it may take a while. I mean, we can't wave a magic wand and say, okay, I suddenly got God's direction. It may take a while in God's Word. It may take a time of prayer. It may take a while before the Holy Spirit makes it clear to you. But once you know what God wants you to do, it's time to go to the next phase and say, guess what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to obey it. I really think sometimes people, this can really be a turning point in their life. Because I believe that God has called a lot more people than go into ministry. I think God has called a lot more preachers than are preaching, that are not preaching, if you know what I'm saying. I think God has called a lot more missionaries to the mission field who aren't being missionaries. Because they sought God, they got His direction, and they did not like the direction, and they said, eh. And I'm convinced that what could have been will not be. But boy, what a blessing they could have reaped if they'd only listened to the way the Lord told them and directed them. And I can bring that to a different perspective as well. You know, God, I believe, calls people to do certain ministries in the church and in life. And God has placed you when you were in the workplace. He placed you there for a reason. Some are still in the workplace. God did that for a reason, right? And God might say, okay, direction here. I want you to be a witness to these people. And you're like, oh, that scares me. I don't know. And we refuse. And we do not reap the blessing. I mean, do we really trust God? Do we really trust God? He gives us direction if we only spend time in His Word and prayer, seeking out. Again, the Holy Spirit of God uses the Word of God to give direction to the child of God, if we only take time in the book. But then we have to obey. And at that point is not the time to be saying, okay, but it's going to cost me this, it's going to cost me that. I really don't think I have the ability. Don't you think God knows everything about you? Remember Moses, when he was called to lead the children of Israel? He had a barrel full of excuses, right? And God finally, he said, oh, I'm slow of tongue. And basically God, I think, got a little bit upset with him and said, now listen, who made man's mouth? So when he gives you direction and you have a choice to make, don't you sit there and argue with God and say, God, I don't think I can do it. Now that may sound really humble from the beginning, but when God tells you to do it, that there's not a whole lot of merit in being humble and saying, I can't do it. The best merit would come from saying, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I'll do it. And then the blessing part. Now, we all want the blessing part, right? We want the blessing part. Why are there... I mean, just think about this for a moment. How many, let's use the word, victorious Christians do you know? Don't answer out loud. But how many people do you know that are living the Christian life with joy? And they're living the Christian life with victory. And they're excited about Jesus. They could be older than dirt, but yet they're there and they love Jesus and are excited about Jesus. How many people do you know like that? Or they can be younger people. How many people? I think that number is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, really. Because less and less people are seeking God's direction. And then once they get it, obeying God's direction in order to be blessed. But those people that are genuine and sweet and excited about the Lord and what He's going to do and excited about fireworks outreaches and excited about vacation Bible school and excited about teen camp. You know, for most Christians, I don't know, you have to light a fire under them or a firecracker or a bottle rocket or something to get some people moving or excited a little bit about the Lord. It ought not be that way. It ought to be God gives us direction, we obey His direction, and God will bless our socks off. And the people that get their socks blessed off are the people that, quote, have the victorious Christian life. And they have joy, and they have a sweetness, and not a sourpuss look on their face, but they have a sweetness about them because they're doing what God wants them to do, and God is blessing them. Like I said, it's a very, 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 very simple message. Pattern. There's some patterns that are neutral type of patterns, like getting up in the morning, drinking your coffee, reading the paper. Some patterns are bad. You get your paycheck, go to the bar, stay up all night, stay out all night. Those are bad patterns, but can I tell you a wonderful pattern found in Scripture, throughout Scripture, that will indeed bless you? That pattern, one more time, is direction, obedience, and blessing. So I guess the challenge, not to belabor the point, but the next time you have a decision to make as an individual or as a family or as a church, let's not rely on this. Let's rely upon the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God and make a decision accordingly. And when we do that and God gives us direction, let's not hem-haw around and say, I just don't know. I mean, really, at that point, you're questioning the God of the universe when you are sure what He's telling you to do. Why not just in a skinny minute say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. There's a simple song that we used to sing, I think at teen camp, when we had our teen camp down at Middleburn Baptist, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. That really should be our answer all the time. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And can I tell you that God will bless you? God's direction, my obedience, leads to abundant blessing. So let's get into that pattern, shall we? And I think the more we do it, the more we'll enjoy it, and probably the more we'll do it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, let me ask you, how do you make decisions in your life? How do you make big decisions in your life? Everyone that I see here right now, I know they profess Jesus as their Savior. So as a Christian, how do you make decisions in your life? Do you make it seeking out God's direction through prayer or through reading the Word and listening to the Holy Spirit? Or are you one of those folks that says, I'm going to make up my mind, I'm going to do what I think? I'd encourage you, turn it over to the Lord, listen to His direction, would you? The next question you got in life, the next question we may have as a church, the next question some group in your life, would you seek out God's direction? Secondly, would you obey once He gives you direction, even if it's counterintuitive to you? You're like, this doesn't make sense. That's okay. If God said do it anyway. And would you be ready to reap the blessings of that the next time? Now, there could be some people here tonight. You're right in the midst of a major decision right now. Have you thought about asking God about it, reading His Word about it, and saying, God, give me direction through Your Holy Spirit about it? And then once He speaks, once He gives direction, will you obey? I guarantee you there'll be blessing. Dear God, we thank You for this simple message. I pray that it has impacted our heart in some small way. I pray that it has drawn us a little closer to You in some small way. But Lord, Your way is always the best way. Lord, again, may we seek out Your direction. May we obey Your direction. And Lord, Lord, help us to enjoy the blessings of doing what You want us to do. Lord, help us to remember this, not just this Sunday night, but this coming week when we have decisions to make, and the week after, and the months after, and years down the road. And Lord, that'll help us to grow and to mature in our walk with You, and Lord, to be blessed in our walk with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.